Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Unchurched. My name is Rebecca, and I am your host for the next half an hour or so. Here on Unchurched, we talk about church culture, what the church is doing, and compare it to what the Bible says. And then on Unchurched, we always side with the Bible. That's what we do. Today, we've got a really fun topic. The title of this episode is Unlearned. Basically, is that we're going to be talking about some studies that I have found that make a lot of sense, that revolve around my favorite topic, which happens to be how to read the Bible and how to study the Bible and why that is important. There's a yearly study that comes out. It's called The State of the Bible. And this is put out by the American Bible Society and the Barna Group. And what they do is they survey a lot of people about the Bible, how it's used, whether or not they engage with it, how often and frequently people attend church and what kind of church they attend, that sort of thing. So it's a really fascinating study. It's got a lot of really interesting aspects of like how people view it, how people view other books, and then they put it in all these fancy little graphs. And it is, I have to say, is that it is really eye-opening for me. I kind of knew this before, and I've seen a lot of studies like this. Back in 2012, Lifeway Research put out a study that had how frequently people read the Bible. And they found out that less than 20% of churchgoers read the Bible daily. That makes so much sense. When I originally saw that, because it came out in 2012, and I don't remember exactly how I came across it, because I do a lot of surfing the internet, like a lot of people do. But I saw that, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, the people that I attended church with, most of them did not read their Bible daily. And I mean, I attended a pretty large church of around 500 people. On any given Sunday, there were like 500 people that were packed into a room, and we had one service. If had I known that information going into church, because I assumed at the time that everybody that attended church read their Bible, like, well, that's what the pastor's telling you to do, so you must be reading it at home on your own. And that if I knew that less than 20% of those church people like read their Bible daily, I think I would have not been so frustrated. I think I would have been a little bit more understanding, and I think I would have approached things a little bit different. I think that I would have approached things differently, although I can't say that for sure, because I was younger and I was a little bit more, I don't know, how do you say, forceful with my ideas with people, like, well, of course you believe this because you've read it, right? Then why would they agree with it because they haven't read it? So, yeah. Well, yeah, so Lifeway Research had published in 2012 that less than 20% of churchgoers read their Bible daily, which was about 19% personally read the Bible every day. That means without listening to a sermon, without listening to somebody preach or watch a preacher preach on the subject. These are people that are reading their Bible independently, personally, by themselves. The Barna study that is put out every year with the American Bible Society, and they also found that about 9% of people read their Bible daily, with an additional 15% that read it most every day of the week, which ended up being about 24% read their Bible frequently throughout the week, which I would put in the category of almost every single day. That means that like you're pretty faithful, but you miss like a day here and there. And whew, that's low. I mean, that's for every 100 people that you have in church, between 19 and 24 people are actually reading their Bible daily. The rest of them are either watching a sermon with their, you know, somebody preach about the Bible. They are reading a faith-based book that has a little bit of scripture in them, but it's not actually the Bible. Or they're just not reading at all. And I found that that there's a lot of different reasons why people don't read the Bible, because I was looking through the state of the Bible. And the people that do not engage with their Bible do so because they find that the language is difficult to relate to. They don't have enough time. The layout is difficult to navigate. And a lot of them just don't feel excited about reading the Bible. I'm a little bit like floored, because I would expect that more people would want to read their Bible. I mean, you're going to church, right? And they're telling you that the way to know God is to read your Bible. Are they? I mean, if I think back on the last year or two, I remember my pastor, when he would give out the salvation message, it's like, if a few times he said, if you don't know how to do it yourself, bring them here and we'll tell them what they need to know and how to do it. And I feel that that's not really particularly getting people to read their Bible. I do remember that he did several times at the beginning of the previous year before was emphasizing that people needed to read their Bible. But I mean, your pastor can talk blue till he's blue in the face at the pulpit, but he can't make you read your Bible. I mean, that's something that you are supposed to do on your own. I mean, it's like this. It's like, you go to class and the teacher says, here's the book that we are reading. Go home and read it. And because we're going to be talking about it next week and what's in it. So, you know, go home and read it. Do your homework, basically. And if you don't read the book, you're not know what's going to be talked about. And you might be, oh, I'll just wait until, you know, Sunday, and then he'll just tell me about it and it'll be fine. Well, it's kind of like, I can understand if you don't see an immediate test that's involved, that you're going to be like, oh, well, I'll get to it later. When I have time, I'll get to it. But the test that for this is so much more important for the Bible. I mean, it's like, basically your test involves, like, do you believe what God said? Do you have faith in what God said or not? I mean, that's basically what's going to happen at the end. I mean, that's the test right there, right? And God's going to look at you and go, well, did you believe what I said? And well, what did I say? I mean, did you even bother to? He's going to look at a lot of people in North America and go, you have the ability to read, you have the ability to write, and there were so many books and Bibles available for you to read, and yet you did not pick it up and read it. And I think that right there is the biggest shame. I know that a lot of people are going, well, in my church, maybe your church is an anomaly and you've got 1,000 people who read their Bible every day. But I'm looking at the research and I'm telling you, somebody in your church is lying, because I know that when you go to a Bible study that somebody is pretending that they know and that they've read their Bible. Look, I have been to a lot of Bible studies, and the longer you are do a Bible study with people, we're not talking like 3 or 4 months. We're talking like every week for like over a year, for like 2 or 3 years. You start to get to know the people very well in there. And then you start to realize what's going on with some people. I realized that there was one lady who never read her Bible. ever. Like, she would show up, and I kind of knew that she was didn't read her Bible, because she would show up and she wouldn't have any of the notes filled out for the scripture that we had to read. And she wouldn't be prepared to answer any of the questions. And she would just sit there and listen and basically go, oh, yeah, I really like this. Or, and sometimes she would have something to say. But for the most part, she was there. And look, we loved her and I loved her. And she's a nice lady. But she just has no desire to read her Bible. She just enjoys the company and the companionship of the ladies that are in the group. There was another lady who I thought was well-read. I thought she got up every single day and read her Bible. What she did is she got up and she, instead of reading her Bible, she would read commentaries or she would watch sermons about the Bible. There was another lady who was very, who basically, she just was like, I just like Shepherd's Chapel and I'm gonna, and I love listening to it, and that's my quiet time every day. And then there was this other lady who I was sure she read her Bible. And then one day we had a conversation where she was leaving the church, and throughout the course of her conversation, now these are women that I highly admired, that I thought were, you know, for the most part, that they were like there reading their Bible and that they love Jesus. I know that they love Jesus, but the more I interacted, the more I realized that they didn't read their Bibles. And so she's like, no, I'm going to leave the church because I'm not getting fed at the church anymore. And I was like, well, I mean, sometimes you're not going to get something every week, you know, at the church, because sometimes it's just not for you. It's for the other people in the church. And there's a large group of people in the church that are just new to their faith. And so, you know, I mean, you should be interacting enough to get it. And she's like, well, no, I get fed when I'm at this Bible study. And then she like quoted a couple other Bible studies, and she said, the rest of the week I'm starving. And I was like, whoa, 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 wait, red light, like ding, ding, ding. We have a problem here, because your issue is not being not fed on Sunday. Your issue is that you're only being fed when you're attending a Bible study. Like, what's happening the rest of the week at your house? Do you have a specific time to read the Bible? And that did not go over very well with her, because she basically outed herself that she wasn't studying the Bible, that she wasn't reading the Bible. She was not engaging the scriptures like she needed to. And we're not talking about a new Christian. We're talking about somebody that professed 30 plus years of faith. I mean, this was shocking to me, but it made a lot of sense as to why there were certain things that we did not agree on certain points. It's like, well, forgiveness is important. It says so right here in this scripture, right there. That's what it says. And yeah. So these are the things that are, this is what's really important, is reading your Bible. I mean, we talked about last week with faith, is that when you come to God, that you must believe that He is. Okay, so you believe that He is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, how do we know, what does it mean to be diligent in seeking Him? Well, when we look at the scripture and what the scripture says, it's pretty apparent within the scripture about the scripture itself. We know that in 2 Timothy 3:16, we know that that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is something that we're supposed to study so that we know correct doctrines, so we know where we need to be corrected, so that we know how to be righteous, where our righteousness comes from, so we're complete and equipped for every good work that God has called us to do, that God wants us to do, basically. When we read Psalm 119, a lot of the Psalms talk about the Word of God, but the Psalm 119 really discusses and goes through about the law and knowing the Word and knowing that's knowing your Bible and knowing what your Bible says and knowing your scriptures. And it's really a very long psalm. But in verse 99, it says, "I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." Before it starts off in 97, it should start with 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me." Wait. That's the key right there. "For you yourself have taught me." If you're hearing a cat in the background, yeah, that's our cat. "For you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path." See, when we study the Word of God, when we sit down and read it and we meditate on it, you can end up knowing more than John MacArthur. I'm saying that right now. It is possible to know more than John MacArthur. He's one of those teachers out there. He teaches. He's great. You can learn a lot from him, but you can know more than him by talking to the teacher. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, in 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him." What he's talking about here, that's the King James Version, but what he's talking about here, John, is in 1 John 2:27, he's saying that what is in every believer, when they believe and they receive the Holy Spirit within them, is that you can read the Bible and God can teach you what's in the Bible. Now, here's the neat thing about the Bible, is that the Bible will not contradict itself. Now, there are people that will tell you that it does, but it does not. If you have problems with what one part of the Bible says and it seems like something else is contradicting it, read it again and ask God for instruction on it. Ask God to enlighten you and read it again until it comes about and that it solves itself out, because there are things that people are constantly working out and trying to work through culture and what the scripture says. And we always side with the scripture, and God is always right. And so we need to understand what God is saying, but the word of man is not ever going to be above what the word of God says. Hebrews 5:11-14. Let's see, where did it go? Where did I put it? It's right there. It is Hebrews 5:11-14. "About this we have much to say and is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers..." There are some of you, okay, so this is me inserting myself right here to say, I'm going to say there are many of you out there that are believers and you've been believers for more than 10 years. And this scripture is for you. You've been an adult and you've been a believer for more than 10 years. So now I'm going to start all over at 11 and I'm going to read you, because this is a warning against apostasy. "About this we have much to say and is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." How do you do that? By reading the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God daily, This is not a rebuke. You'll be nodding your head and going, yes, yes, yes. See, when you're weak in the word, you're not exactly sure what it means to be righteous. You don't know how it is to be right before God or what it takes to be right before God. And you're considered a child. He says here in verse 12, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. What are the oracles of God? That's what's been handed down through Moses. It's what's been handed down through the prophets. It's been what's handed down through Proverbs and the Psalms and all of that. And here we are. We are living in America where most of the people are literate, which means you have the ability to read. You have the ability to write something down, which are the very principles in learning how to study. That's what you need in order to study, is you need to be able to read and you need to be able to write. Because if you're able to do those two things, you can read, you can study, you can take notes. That's okay. So one more scripture and we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12. But we're going to back up a little bit because we're going to go to verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. He's referring to Proverbs, which is a great place to start. And guess what Proverbs talks about? Studying the Bible. Studying the word of God. Studying the law. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. So if you're reading the scriptures and you have a trouble finding out what it means, going and reading another book about what it says is fine. But if you go and find another, because you can find 20 books on one subject in the Bible. I mean, you can literally read 1,000 books on grace. There are easily 1,000 books that have been written on the grace of God out there in the world. And you can read them all and still not understand what grace is. How do you know what grace is? You must believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not what somebody else has done to diligently seek Him. Not what other people think that God says, but what God actually says. I mean, if we go back to Psalm 119, verse 99, we learn that God talks to us through His word. That we can learn more than all of those books combined, specifically and directly from the Spirit of God through the Bible. And by reading the Bible, going to God directly Himself through the Bible. Through Jesus Christ, you can have a conversation with God, with the Father, through Jesus Christ, and He'll meet you at His word. It's as simple as that. You have a question, go directly to God through Jesus. If you have a relationship with, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have the ability to walk into the proverbial throne room in prayer at any given point in time and say, God, I need help. I do not understand this. Help me. And you know what? He will answer you. You just have to believe that He is, and you have to be diligent in looking for the answer in His word. All right. Yes. So that's is where we are at. So, and the other thing that I want to say in conjunction with the studies is, if you're not one of those people that is pretty faithful in reading your Bible every day, there's no shame. Really, there's no shame. So God is very gracious and He's loving and He's not mad at you. God, His mercies are renewed every morning. Every morning that you wake up is a brand new day and is a new opportunity for you to open your, to start your day by reading the Bible and getting to know God. Now, I've seen recently some very great things on how to study, on how to start your day outright. There's one that is done by Regan Rose. He recently did it on his podcast. He did a really short one. It's like 11 minutes long. Oh, let me pause and I'll come back in just a second. It'll probably be like 5 minutes on my time, but it'll be like a second your time. All right, I found it. It's called RedeemingProductivity.com by Regan Rose. And he recently put out on his blog a post about, it's a how-to video, 5 bad morning habits that are destroying your productivity. Excellent, 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 excellent. Highly recommend what he has to say. What he's got is really good. It's basically a Christian approach to getting stuff done. I highly recommend it. I think that this is a good place to start. If you need encouragement in how to do things and how to be productive, then go to RedeemingProductivity.com and learn from Regan Rose. Basically, what this whole episode has been about is read your Bible. You know, I think people get a little bit intimidated going, oh, well, will God talk to me? Well, yeah, God is going to talk to you. He's got 66 books. Of course he wants to talk to you. I mean, read them. God will meet you. If you really want to know God and you're diligent, I mean, every day, read your Bible every day, be persistent, expect that he's going to meet you in the scriptures. And you know what? He will. He absolutely will. I mean, I'm not anybody, and he meets me. I know he meets other people who are just as simple people. If you want to meet God, you can through the scripture. Yeah. So that's it for this week. Basically, read your Bible. That's it. Yeah, it was great having you here. Oh, yeah. So if you want to talk to me, you can email me at talktome@unchurched.net and shoot me an email. Say, hey, I like your podcast. Say, hey, I got a question. Hey, can you talk about this? Hey, I want to be on your show because I have something about something that I want to share. You know, hey, let's have a conversation or complain to me. I mean, talk to me. That's what that's all there for. So do that. Other than that, thank you so much for listening and I hope to see you next week.